Blog Talk Radio.
You betcha. Yeah, we're open. You bet we're open. And a very pleasant good Sunday morning, friends. We're so glad you found us back here at the Frat House Garage. Today, we're in week 13. Who'd have thunk it? Week 13 of our Race Trim Motorsports Hour right here on the Frat House Sports Radio Network. And, yeah, we've got the coffee on. So come on in. We've been waiting for you. You know, we've been waiting for you. We have these Sunday hours just for you. Now, the coffee's on. It's hot, and it's high-octane, as always. So you got the donuts, right? You brought the donuts? Yeah, we'll just set them over there on the workbench because we want everybody to just sit back and relax and enjoy a good morning. We're going to fill up on a little bit of NASCAR chat. We've got some NHRA events that are going to come also today. And, of course, the doors are open. Our lines are open as well. So give us a holler. You can reach in and climb aboard by dialing 347-826-9964. Or if you're, you know, you got the moxie and you've got the chutzpah and you stream with us online on the PC, you can Skype over to us. Hit up that blue Skype icon on the show's page. Now here we are. We're at the midpoint of the year, and you know, I mean, a lot of kids are getting out of school, but I don't know if you heard. Yeah, that's the school bell. Okay, so everybody, first of all, get in line. You take the gum out of your mouth. Yeah, what we're gonna do, you know, NASCAR is at their midterm. I don't know if anybody took notice, but it's the midterm of the NASCAR silly season. And, you know, it's like a school year in a way, because right now we're halfway through. And so what we thought we would do, the crew, the gang here, we thought we'd kind of look back and reflect on this first half of the year. What have we learned? Now, listen, we're not just looking at us in the garage here. I mean, we want to know what we've learned about NASCAR, about the drivers, about the crews. Everybody's stopping to take stock halfway through the year. So we thought we'd share our report card, and that's going to be on our agenda this morning. I mean, Brandon, I just have to wonder, how many drivers are running right home to have mom and dad sign their report card this year, huh? I mean,
I'm sure there's a few having some good seasons.
I can hear it now, though. I don't know, Mrs. Stewart. You know, Tony, he's been piling up demerits the first half this year. You know, he keeps picking fights and wrecking everybody in the garage.
Yeah, right. Harvick, his quote-unquote classmate over there is putting in, you know, stellar grades.
Well, you know, speaking of another classmate, and, you know, some people might believe she's deserving of the honor roll, but, I mean, I can just imagine a conversation that begins something like, well, Mr. Patrick, you know, while she does make a heck of a sandwich, and the cafeteria aides really do like her and all, it's really not quite what we were expecting again from Danica this year. Good morning, Sidekick. Do we have Sidekick with us?
Yeah.
DJA, buddy, good morning. Good morning to you. Yeah. Now, Brandon and Sidekick and I all got together yesterday, and we met him at the Team Penske hauler, and we helped him offload. He's back here in Pennsylvania with us, and he's still in probably Midwest time. Right, buddy? Feeling a couple hours behind? No, you pretty good?
The time change hasn't affected me too much. All this moving has. I'm about whooped.
Yeah. Well, here's what we'll do. We'll give you some time to warm up. Grab yourself an amp. And, Brandon, you're going to grab yourself a monster. What we want to do is we want to take a quick peek back at the whole year that has been, because NASCAR, they're telling us. Yeah, we're on cap. Yeah, baby. She ain't been around, see. That's right. Brian Grant, tell us. We need some education. Yeah, we better get back to school. So you know what I figured we would do? By way of evaluation of our NASCAR 2015 and how we can offer our grades, not only, again, we're going to, you know, we can offer grades here on the NASCAR side of it, you know, the product, the competition, or listen, pull up your favorite driver or your least favorite driver, and we can offer letter grades that way as well. But what I'll do is I'll take a real quick 2-minute run through the year to kind of bring us all up to speed. So, folks at home, if you're playing along, 347-826-9964, you can reach in and call us. But if you would, I know, please just open your books to Chapter 1. We're going to kind of run through this first 13 real fast in review. We do have Frat House Mike up in the spotter's perch today running the board. So if anybody needs to use the restroom, just raise your hand. Frat House Mike, Mr. Frat House Mike will give you his hall pass. So look, it started off in February. Jeff Gordon entered the 2015 year, made the big announcement. This would be it. No racing, no Moss after this year. And what did we see? 24s have been found painted and celebrated everywhere at every track ever since, except in Victory Lane. Yeah, sadly or not, Gordon hasn't even come close to a race win thus far all year. And it kind of magnifies a sense of anti-climax to his departure, I would, in my opinion. You know, also remarkable from the onset was the musical chair carousel that started. It commenced immediately in Daytona with the wreck that sent Kyle Busch to the hospital for multiple weeks. That was piggybacked almost immediately with other injured drivers. We all recall and feel badly for Brian Vickers. He was in the 55. He was out. Oh, wait, he was back in again. No, he was back out again. Denny Hamlin proceeded to miss a race at Bristol with mysterious back spasms. They kind of spelled, you know, through folks looking from the outside like Eric Jones. Then we had multiple drivers that continually shifted through teams and cars through the first 6, 7, 8 weeks. Reagan Smith, we almost forgot he ran Cup at the beginning of it all. David Reagan has worn multiple colors. Brian Vickers, as I mentioned, Matt Crafton, too. Kind of forget about him. He's a truck guy. Wait a second. No, he started the year with the Sprint Cup. Of course, Eric Jones is right there and Brett Moffitt. In a prime example of just absolute bushwhacking, of course, we can't forget that we lost the other Bush. Kurt, he was out for a few weeks as he went through a visit to detention hall for what essentially was determined to be the equivalent of starting a shouting match on the bus. In 2015, we've seen a notable uptick in pit road penalties and crew accidents and incidents, but it's also been remarkable for a drop-off of horsepower and quality passing. You know, speed is up in the corners, attendance is down at the tracks, alongside which the TV ratings have shrunk to a trickle, so much so that the Indianapolis 500 surpassed the NASCAR ratings for the first time since 2005. You know, we heard early and often different pilots openly complain to the media about the lack of safety standards. We heard others bemoan the clean air, which has really just dirtied the competition. It's rendered the racing product more boring than ever. And some openly referred to NASCAR as an embarrassment, whether due to the weekly qualifying hiccups we saw early on or the nonsense of vehicle inspection shenanigans. The mystery cautions, the phantom debris, yeah, they've continued. And that just fires the intrepid rumor mill unabated. It places NASCAR squarely in doubt from the eyes of its fan base with respect to integrity and fairness versus, well, let's bunch up the field and fix a finish. The icing on top has to be that the most marketable driver of all, Danica Patrick, recently announced her primary sponsor will not return following this year, her last, as we've mentioned, under contract with Stuart Haas. And this news has been met with a silence that's ironically deafening in a way, certainly curious to most anyone who considers the message being sent thereby from GoDaddy.com. Now, we've had some exciting races. I mean, yeah, in my view, we've had probably three or four really good races this year of the 13. And I've had a chance, well, nay, I actually have an obligation since I prepped for the show to watch all the events. But equally, there have been three or four very boring races this year, on the other hand. You know, consistency is really no less important this year than it was last. In 2014, Mr. Consistent, Ryan Newman, well, he's been replaced nicely by Furniture Row's new man in 2015. That would be Martin Truex. You mentioned it, Brandon Kevin Harvick. He remains the champion to beat every week. And if he doesn't finish first, my goodness, he's pulling in second in like nine of the last 16 races. We got Jimmy Johnson making history just last week ago with his run in Dover. He's surely going to break through the all-time win list and surpass Dale Earnhardt for seventh overall, probably this year, within, you know, the second half of the season. Now, looking forward, we do have two road courses coming. We have another plate track coming, and this is before the chase. And some really promising locations. We got Indianapolis coming up. We've got Darlington coming up in the second half. We've got the second Bristol, a second Richmond. So that it would appear that really there's still a reason to think the best of stock car racing is coming. So that's kind of where we sit and where we stand. All right, fellas, what did I miss? Anything else? Anything else jump out at you before we start handing out our grades?
No, I think you got all the high points there for sure. You know, we can go through and, you know, grade a lot of what you were just talking about. That's for sure.
Well, what I did, and again, for those playing at home, feel free to reach out and holler at us, 347-826-9964. I just threw together some criteria on the NASCAR side of how you could grade the product, and I kind of broke them down into like five sections. And for those at home, I basically kind of threw in, you know, the whole rules package could be an element of NASCAR we could talk about. We could talk about safety issues. That's the second element where you could grade NASCAR. How are the procedures? That's the third element, you know, such as qualifying and race inspections, pit road penalties, and crew self-police. Obviously, competition. That's a fourth area that you could grade NASCAR. We've got a lot of aero dependence. How's the quality passing? Do you like those double file restarts? Lead changes, boy, they're coming, but they're not due to quality passing so much. And, of course, communication. We got so many councils, and we're going to talk about them in the second part of our segment this morning. Yeah, driver council, manufacturer council, fan council. Good Lord, we've got all kinds of student councils going on. So there's areas of NASCAR that, gentlemen, I'd like you to feel free to comment and offer grades on. And clearly then we have all the drivers. And I listed some driver names, almost all of them that are declared for the sprint car level. But, hey, listen, if you want to throw in an Xfinity guy or gal, if you want to throw in a truck guy or gal, feel free. Who wants to kick it off? Who'd like to start giving us a letter grade? First of all, does Brian France, you know, he ends in, the last name ends in a letter F. How does he?
Yeah.
Yeah. You think that was just by accident?
I don't know.
Well, oh, you know,
I'm looking here at the, you know, the outline. They got to let, you got it in a little bit of an order here. I mean, the, you know, we could probably just start with the 2015 rules. I mean, you know, they've been
it's been okay,
but there's been a lot of this, you know, you get the one guy out in clean air and he's faster than everybody. So they still need to do a little bit of addressing. So, you know, I'm actually kind of leaning towards giving them a, like a C. I'm not saying the racing's been as horrible as it had, you know, a few years back when they had the Car of Tomorrow, but NASCAR had an opportunity at the All-Star Race to try a new package for 2016 that they were floating around, and they blew it. They decided the last minute they decided not to do it. And, you know, so we really have no idea what they're going to do going forward. That would have been a good opportunity for them to try something. And, you know, I kind of got to give them a C on that because of that. The racing's not been horrible, but it's not been as good, you know, as it could be yet. So that's where I'm at there.
All right, I hear you. Yeah, all right, well, that's fine. You know, I remember I went to college with a a buddy of mine who from Washington, D.C., and his nickname was D.C. That's how we knew him. He played basketball at York College, and very funny guy. And he used to tell me, because he was struggling in freshman year, and I said to him, D.C., how you going to be, man? How you going to make it through this marking period? And he said, I just want to see my way out. So, and that would be a letter C grade. So I hear you. So you're saying maybe NASCAR can see their way through the second half. Well, any thoughts on anything in the NASCAR side of competition or the package? What do you think, Sidekick? What's your thoughts?
Well, you know,
I mean, I threw the criteria there. Maybe you have something else. You know, maybe you want to chat about something I didn't include.
You know, trying to figure out where I kind of want to put it. I'm thinking I'm kind of in the C range like you guys were, and that where, you know, the racing has been good. You know, there are some, you know, I do see some areas of improvement, and it's stuff that, you know, you guys have mentioned, you know, about, you know, the fact that, you know, getting out in clean air, you know, the quality passing for leads and stuff like that. I'm just looking at some of these, the criteria you have for the 2015 rules, and trying to, you know, see if there's anything that might bump it up or bump it down here. You know, I think I'm going to go with a C-.
C-, so, overall for the rules package.
Yeah, because it's about an average, you know, the rules package is about an average.
Yeah.
You know.
Let me ask you, you know, we can speculate, why do you suppose they didn't want to initiate a trial of 2016? Because I'm with Brandon, you know, while I understand the owners, the car owners have maybe, you know, to make adjustments for next year in order to implement the package fully, it would appear the engineering is already in place for them to have at least tried the 2016 package at the All-Star race. Some drivers seem to think it actually does put a little more control of the vehicle back in the pilot's hands, and that would make for, you know, maybe some more quality passing in that. I mean, we have the track bar adjustment that's in the pilot's controls. We've seen that's worked. Eh, not great, but it's worked. You know, the corner speed's way up. Horsepower's down. There's a lot of people crying about that, too.
Well, they, you know, they may not have been, you know, we've seen some of the stuff that they're tweaking, like that new dash where you can, you know, where you can toggle it to different views. And, you know, we've seen some other stuff, and it just sounds like they may not have been ready, you know, or felt confident enough to try that rules package for at the All-Star race. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they did, instead of saying, hey, let's try this, and then it, you know, being a bigger failure than
I got an idea for you. Whether they were fully ready to do all of it or not, they certainly could have done the aero package they're talking about, which was you know, taking a little bit off the back spoiler, and there's a few other little body tweaks. You know, I'm of the thought that, you know, NASCAR was afraid it was going to put on too good of a show, and they'd be kind of forced into saying, you know, well, maybe we need to implement this sooner, and I don't think they wanted that. You know, so I don't know. Maybe I'm just being a conspiracy theorist there, but, you know, I don't see any reason why they couldn't have tried the aero stuff. I get the dash thing, because the dash thing looked very complicated and expensive, and, you know, to get it in however many cars are running the All-Star race in time probably would have been, you know, a bit of a chore, but, so, you know, that's cool, but you could have tested some of the other stuff, I thought, and they didn't. So, I don't know.
Yeah, agreed.
They really never gave us a good answer as to why. They just said, oh, we're not going to do it.
I hope we're going to get to that, unless you want to jump there now. That goes under our communication. How's our communication been with NASCAR this year? I'll be honest with you. I would give them a D minus, and I don't even know I included that as the letter grade for them. But, you know, we have all these councils, and I find it just ludicrous. I find it absolutely preposterous that we have all these councils. We've had a manufacturer council now for a year and a half. We've had a fan council. Brandon, you were chatting with me that I guess at particular tracks they have councils of I guess what would you say season ticket holders or ticket members can become individual location council members. Of course, we've just opened up this driver council, and as I say, we'll kind of speculate about that. All of this ostensibly put forth by NASCAR to keep everybody in the loop, and yet we still don't get property penalty explanation or exactly what the process and thoughts are behind appeals. I'm going D minus. I mean, I'm getting close to an F despite all of this ostensive outreach. Where do you guys go with that communication and some of that for NASCAR?
Yeah. I'll give them a D. I'm not going to go to the minus because they're at least trying. I mean, with the councils, I think they should get a sampling of drivers and a sampling of owners and a sampling of fans' opinions and try to do the best for everybody. I mean, you know, the local one you just brought up a little bit, that's just meant for like an individual track's entertainment, you know,
right,
and then
you.
So you can take, you know, the experience at say a Charlotte or a Richmond, and if it's better, then maybe talk to them, you know, their track promoters, and say, hey, what do we got to do to spice up Kansas here or something? You know what I mean?
But I got you. Right.
Yeah. So I don't think it's a bad thing that they're trying to talk. I think the way they're doing it is very haphazard. You know, like this driver's council last week, there was a shroud of secrecy around it at the beginning of the week. Well, who was in it? Who wasn't in it? Why is so-and-so excluded? How did we determine who's in it? Do we really need to have all them questions? I mean, NASCAR could have just simply said, hey, these six drivers are going to sit down and have a little conversation about the rules or whatever. You know, it turned into a bigger mess than it needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jimmy Johnson's nose out of joint because he wasn't on it. You know, just saying, I guess six championships isn't enough. I'm like,
right.
All right, you know, shut
mm-hmm.
up. Nobody
mm-hmm.
wants to hear from you anyway.
Yeah. Well, we're going to hear from him, like it or not, and we'll be talking about a little more of that, too, when we touch on Dover's results last week. What say you, Sidekick, if not communication? We're almost giving it a failing grade. Any other criteria on there? You want to touch on how's NASCAR safety? How's their procedures been? How do you like the competition? There's some other areas. What do you want to throw a letter grade for? What jumps out at you?
See. Well, since you were just talking about the communications, I would say I would give them a solid F for
okay.
their communications. Yeah. And that, and you know, as an employee, you know, my employer has all these councils just like NASCAR.
Right,
but,
focus groups. Right, we call them focus
exactly.
groups.
Mm-hmm. You know, and you come out and you say, okay, we had this focus group, this council. Here's what was said. Here's the takeaway from that council. We're going to take this, and we're now going to look at it. And, you know, down the road, you may receive another email saying, hey, so from the results of this council, we've decided to make this change based on the recommendation of this council.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. I haven't seen diddly poo from NASCAR. I have not seen, hey, we got this council together, and this is what the council came back and said. I haven't seen, hey, the council said we should try this, so we're gonna try this implementation. Nope, not seen that.
Yep. Right.
There's, as much as NASCAR tries to sit there and say, we're transparent, we're trying to engage the fans, they're doing a horrendous job of being transparent and trying to talk to the fans. You know,
we couldn't
see,
do diddly poo.
There it is.
You know, I mean, they still don't tell us what the damn penalties are.
Nope.
You know, like the whole, you know, we're investigating tires.
Yeah, the Ryan Newman thing remains a big
unsolved. We gave Ryan Newman a penalty, you know, for tire infraction. Well, what was that? It was a tire infraction. Did I stutter?
Yeah.
Well, quite frankly, yeah, you did. So, yeah, straight F for any of the communications. I like the idea of the councils, but it's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
So...
What do we want to say about safety? There's been a focus on safety coming into it, and immediately, of course, we lose Kyle. That ramps everything up. I mean, they were talking safety prior to the year, but obviously everything changed. Everything ramped up on the safety front. Obviously, we're 13 events. We're 15 weeks, 16 weeks into this now because we've had multiple events, including the Unlimited and the All-Star, which are strictly exhibition. But, you know, 15, 16 weeks, where do we stand on safety? Have we made any headway, in your opinion, men? And how would you give it a letter grade, you know, today, rather than, say, at the time when Kyle crashed a non-protected wall? We might have given everybody wanted to give him an F then. Where do we stand now with NASCAR on safety?
Well, I would give them a B minus on safety.
Okay.
The grade would be a little bit higher, but unfortunately, on the safer barrier test, they got an F.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, they didn't even show up.
Right.
But I think if you take the safer barrier out of the picture, I think they've done a good job, an above average job of the safety. You know, so like I said, yeah, unfortunately, the soft safer barriers is a blemish on their grade. You know, I think I would probably give them an A for safety had we actually implemented the safer barriers.
Mm-hmm. What say you, Brandon? You know, we do have mandatory pit crew gear requirements now to maintain some fire protection because we've seen that literally ignite over the last probably 4 or 5 weeks. And I threw cautions in there, too. I mean, we do see guys spin. We do see folks wreck. We see, you know, obviously loss of fluids and that on the track surface. I'm not talking about the phantom and the phantom cautions and the phantom debris, per se. I'm talking legitimate caution. How would you rate safety issues as we sit here halfway through, Brendan? Do we have Brendan?
Genuine? Oh, sorry. I do agree. Hang on. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Okay, there we go. I do agree with Sidekick, you know, that NASCAR does, you know, try very hard to be on the front edge of safety. My problem this year has been everything seems to be very reactionary. I mean, Kyle Busch had his instant, and they immediately freaked out saying, yeah, we're going to add safer barriers here, 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 and here. Well, you should have done that first. You know, we had the fires on pit crew on pit road, and pit crew members were burned. Well, now we got new rules. You got to wear, you know, this fire Nomex gear and you know, wear all that. Well, why weren't they wearing that to begin with if they were already in a potential? I mean, you're making them wear a helmet. Why not make them wear the fire gear as well? You know, I don't know. I think NASCAR really wants to be safe, but sometimes they wait till, you know, somebody gets hurt to fix something, and I wish they could do a better job of that. So I'm going to give them like a C minus, only because, you know, it cost one of their stars, you know, the first half of the year for the most part. I mean, Kyle Busch was sitting there, you know, at home when he should have been out there running races for all this year series.
Yes.
So
yeah, absolutely. Gotcha.
I wish they'd do, you know, same thing happened way back when, you know, everything points back to Dale Earnhardt Sr. when he passed that, then all of a sudden NASCAR had to develop a whole new car. You know, well, our cars are junk. We can't have this. We got to have a safer car of tomorrow. Well, why didn't you do that before? You know, that's always been the way they do it. And, you know, I realize it's tough to foresee an accident or a fire or something. But if you know you need safer wrapped around the outside wall of the track, wouldn't it just make sense that the inside wall of the track's going to need it too? You know what I'm saying? I realize it. You may not have as many crashes there, and it's expensive, but how expensive is it when you lose Kyle Busch for, you know, a dozen races or whatever he was out for? You know, that's I don't know. I just NASCAR, and you could clearly tell by NASCAR's reaction that they did own it, but, you know, they should have owned it prior to that, and it should not have ever happened.
Absolutely right. You know, we mentioned Jeff Gordon. I mean, was it was within the first four, I believe, races of the year. I do not recall.
Yes.
Was it Atlanta, Vegas, Phoenix? There goes Jeff Gordon. He's going to find a piece of wall that wasn't barrier protected. We also saw Hamlin experience a pretty rough contact with the wall as well. So you're absolutely right. Even after the Kyle thing, there was still some foot dragging. And it did create, you know, it created some, that goes back to what I said at the opening. You know, there was the term embarrassment was being used. Piggyback that, if I may, for either of you, you know, procedures. How do we rank the procedures we've seen from NASCAR thus far? We've had qualifying snafus. Pre- and post-race inspections continue to be an issue. We've seen an uptick in road pit road penalties, unlike anything we have ever seen before. But at the same time, we're saying, well, we don't need as many on-track in-pit officials, so we'll let the pit crews police themselves. What's the procedural? What's our procedural report card? Letter grade for how NASCAR has gone with their procedures in 2015 halfway through?
Well, I'm giving them, I'm not happy with a lot of that kind of stuff this year, so I'm giving them a D. I mean, I realize the whole electronic eye in the sky thing is there, but, you know, they're taking the human, you know, the human element out of it. You know, like, say there may be a reason a tire rolls away, you know, a safety factor, you know, the guy was trying to help another guy from getting hurt or something. And, you know, I don't know. I don't like that it's so cut and dry when you have a computer looking at things like that. That'd be like, as they often said in Major League Baseball, a computer calling balls and strikes instead of an umpire. Not, you know, umpires can be bad, but, you know, I think the human element's part of the game. And I think NASCAR's trying to get rid of that. And the qualifying is just a joke. I don't know why. I like the new pack qualifying and the elimination qualifying. I don't know why NASCAR just doesn't mandate them to get out on the track. They're sitting around, you know, wait until the last second. It's annoying. It's frustrating, and it's just dumb. I mean, if everybody's playing by the same rules that everybody has to go out, cooling your engine for an extra minute and a half ain't going to matter if the guy next to you didn't get to do it either. So just go out. You can't. They shouldn't let them sit on pit road. They should have a mandatory, you know, okay, once you're here and ready to go, you got 30 seconds to pull out or you get shoved to the back of the line. You know, that's probably the way I'd like to see it. I don't like them just doing this the way they're doing it. It just causes for, I don't know, it just seems stupid to me.
Mm-hmm. What say you, Sidekick? How do you like our procedures this year? I think they've – I'm going to join Brandon. You know, I think we've taken a remarkable step backwards compared to last year in certain areas.
Well, I'm going to – see, I'm on the fence a little bit. I'm going to go with a C-minus.
Okay.
On the and I differ a little bit in opinion. I like the new pit road penalty system. And that, because one of the issues we have with NASCAR is the ability to call a fair race. You know, you talk about the phantom cautions and different things. I don't trust NASCAR enough to make the judgment decisions of what a strike zone is, because they're completely in, you know, there's no consistency. You know, at least in baseball, you have an umpire. And that umpire, for the most part, calls the same strike zone for the whole game. Now, a different umpire may come in and call the strike zone a little bit different, but he will call it the same for the whole game. With NASCAR, they're so all over the place with how they call stuff. For pit road, I like the idea of having it taken away where it's more... You know, you've got the behind the scenes penalty people that sit in that hauler that they've shown every once in a while, and then you've got the timing loops and things like that. I like that aspect of it because it takes some of that. Well, wait, that tire went across the track and you didn't call a penalty, but yet that tire went across and you called a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so for me, I like the consistent. You know, no judgment kind of rules, but and you know now for the pit the qualifying, I like the pack qualifying. I do kind of like the strategy in that. where, you know, some of the guys are sitting and you see them waiting a little bit and trying to figure out who's going to come out. But I think they need to shorten the time because it does get, you sit there, and, you know, and we saw it really with Daytona where, mm-hmm. you know, these guys were just sitting there and sitting there and sitting, you know, and it's like all this dead TV time.
Absolutely. I mean, anybody,
you know, so I think that you
had to
need
wonder.
To short, yeah, you need to shorten that up a little bit, but I do kind of like that mental where they're kind of strategizing, okay, who's going to be first one to go? Who's going to, you know, I want to keep that. I just think they need to shorten the period so it doesn't, so they're not just sitting there that long waiting for somebody to pull out. You know what I mean?
Right. Absolutely.
And so.
To both of your points, you're right. Sidekick, I agree with you. It does remove the temptation. By having the cameras, that's the eye in the sky. It does remove the human error and the temptation of offering a prejudicial view. However, I'm going to take that back just a little bit just because in the most recent qualifying that we saw at Pocono, we saw where Greg Biffle on monitor, and we sat and laughed about it, you and I, Brandon, on monitor. When they ran the timeline to the camera, it would appear Greg Biffle should have gotten in his final lap to make the top 24. And in fact, NASCAR came back and said, "Oh no, no, no! There was a calibration issue. You guys didn't get it right." So even there, we saw where, oh my goodness, nothing's permanent. And to what you were both saying, you know, we saw in the final round that everybody waited. Denny Hamlin does a spin when we're trying to establish our top 12 leaders, and in fact, everything got red flagged, so we didn't even complete the entire qualifying process at Pocono, which we're going to today. Of course, they fell back to, you know, the qualifying times from prior, so we understand how that works, but yeah, it does go to your point, both of you, well-made points about, you know, oh, my goodness, these procedures, yeah, they seem to be better, but oh, I don't know, are they really? Folks, if you're out there, we're giving our letter grades. We're going to start talking about some of our drivers here next. We're giving a letter grade here. We're at the midterm. We're halfway through. What do you think? How do you rate NASCAR product this year on A being great and F being an out-and-out flop? Let us know what you think. 347-826-9964.
Stupid, outrageous, baloney, liar, baby, dumb, wise guy. Are you kidding me?
Well, we're asking you. That's all we're asking you. Now, listen, what we'll do, man, why don't we jump over? I've included some driver names, and just for fun. Now, you know, it's funny, when we go to school, if you're in grade 5, you're in grade 5, and it stands alone by itself. And that's kind of how I set this up. We're looking at 2015, but if anybody does want to know, and it took me a little while to have to go back because I had to keep going back and back and back and back, but I did find NASCAR's standings, driver standings, at this time 1 year ago. So if anybody has a question about, hey, you know, where was Matt Kenseth? I'm just curious, where was Matt Kenseth going into Pocono a year ago? I can tell you where we were last year compared to this year, but I've listed all the drivers pretty much from sprint car, alpha order, Allgaier to Yeely. Who wants to throw some names out as far as maybe you want to say, well, listen, here's my A-plus guys, or maybe you want to say, well, you know, I like this particular driver, but they rank a B-minus. However you guys want to do it, feel free to fire away. Go ahead, Brandon. Maybe you want to kick this thing up yourself.
Sure. Well, I'll start with the obvious. I mean, you know, Kevin Harvick, Busch, I think they both deserve A pluses. They've qualified well, led a lot of laps, won races. Truex Jr., at least an A. I mean, I'd want to give him an A plus, but, you know, as Frathouse Mike pointed out the other night, he hasn't have a win yet. So, you know, I think it's coming. He's knocking on the door. Other notable things that I'd like to say overall,
yeah.
Richard Childress Racing, which does kind of include Truex and AJ
right.
Allmendinger, because they're as an organization, I'd kind of like they're getting high marks, like a B plus, because they're kind of on an upswing from last year. I mean, yeah, Ryan Newman went all the way to the chase. I get it, but as a whole, that organization was pretty disappeared last year. This year, you know, you're seeing Austin Dillon run well. You've seen Paul Menard up front. Truex obviously has been there, you know, and the three car of late, Austin Dillon looks like he's coming around. So I really like all of the RCR, what they've done this year, and I think they're just going to get stronger. They're on a momentum upswing, as they say. You know, on the downside, I mean, Tony Stewart, I mean, I really would like to see him get going. I mean, he sits, you know, he's complaining about the rules sometimes. He's this, he's that. It's like, shut up and drive. I mean, we know you can do it. You know, maybe it's a mental thing with some of the stuff he went through last year. I don't know. But, you know, we are coming up into the summer.
Are you willing to put a letter grade at the midterm?
Yeah, he's pretty much at a D right now, I got to say. You know, the only reason I won't go F is because he's an owner of two of the top guys right now. So he's got to be involved in it somehow. I mean, he is, I'm sure his voice gets heard in the meetings.
Actually, okay, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. That's a fair point I actually hadn't considered exactly. All right.
Danica's probably a D as well. She's in a contract year. She needs to be running better. You know, I mean, she showed small flashes. I think she had a top 10. You know, she needs to be, you know, putting that car up in the front more. And big F all across the board, all of Roush Racing. They've been invisible for the most part, you know. As of late, they've maybe made a blip on the radar, but they ain't running up front. I mean, and they can't say it's a Ford problem because Penske's not having an issue with that. So,
good.
You know,
all right. I like it. Yeah, that's a good way to kick it up. Where do you want to go with it, Sidekick? Feel free to throw names, throw snot. Hey, maybe you want to heap on some praise to somebody.
Well, I agree with, you know, Roush is clearly an F. They're going to fail out. You know, I would, as organizations, I would have to say that Stuart Haas would get an A, as well as Hendricks. But surprise, surprise, there may be some cheating there between the two organizations because they're related.
Kissing cousins.
Yeah, exactly. Stuart Haas is really just a satellite of Hendrick, if you think about it. But I would put Stuart Haas in A plus versus Hendrick. You know, Gibbs is probably in the B range. B minus C plus range. I think they've done a fairly good job. You know, as far as, you know, honor roll for the drivers, David Reagan deserves, he needs to be on the distinguished honor roll. And I say that not great by grading by wins, but the job that he has done this year, as well as, you know, I think we should give a shout out to Brett Moffitt and the name escapes me.
He might be on the list.
Reagan Smith.
Reagan Smith. Right.
You know,
good point.
These guys have, you know, they've been dealing with substitutions and, you know, and everything, and I think that they've done a good as job as can be done.
Absolutely.
In the situation.
Everything that has been asked,
you know,
of. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So definitely there. You know, unfortunately, Kyle Busch, I guess we're going to have to give a I incomplete to.
That's why, you know, it's funny. He was the only one for which I included the incomplete because it's certainly not his fault, but that we all believe that the man's got a win or multiple wins in the time remaining between now and not just the chase, but the end of the year. So I would agree. I think he is a complete in terms of the lesson plan. It's hard to give him a midterm grade at this point, but yeah, he's certainly tearing it up. Allgaier, rookie last year, Annette, rookie last year, Bowman, rookie last year, Larson, rookie last year, Dillon, rookie last year, who else did I miss? Cole Witt, rookie last year. How do we – anybody jump out? I'll be honest. I'm looking at C minus, maybe C. I don't see any of those rookies I just mentioned as having improved or really starting to come on. I'll grant what you said there, Brendan, about Dylan. He looks hot today for the triangle. And Larson, he kind of stole a third place last week. But I don't know. Who are the guys that are going to challenge, you know, the Busch brothers? Who are the guys that are going to challenge, you know, Hamlet, Harvick, you know, Johnson, Kane, Kenseth, Kessel, Logano? I don't see them this year. That rookie class from last year has almost vanished.
Well, Ryan Blaney was in that rookie class, right?
Well, he's not declared. That's the problem. That's the only reason I didn't include him on
okay.
the sprint
level.
Okay,
I thought he was
we
last
could,
year.
We could certainly – he ran part-time
okay.
last year between the two, as he's kind of doing again this year. We're looking maybe for him to be 2016, we're hoping. Maybe he would be something that Penske could latch on to. You can feel free to give him a letter grade, and I'll tell you what, I'm giving him a B plus or an A minus. Blaney,
oh, absolutely.
I liked everything I've seen from the kid.
Yeah, Roger Penske is a satellite. You know, the Wood Brothers team's a satellite of Roger Penske, and Roger Penske's already come out on record saying he is helping them try to secure a full time sponsor to run mm-hmm. Ryan Blaney in that 21 next year full time. So.
Right.
I mean, I definitely would like to see that, and I think that's a good call. And definitely, that third place finish he had at Talladega was just impressive. He was up front most of the day. You know, he wasn't, you know, up and down or anything. He was solid. So, you know, he definitely gets an A minus for what he's been doing. He's not run that many, unfortunately, but that's not his fault. That's, you know, that's a function of the team and their schedule. So, you know, based on what he's done, definitely. High marks for him.
All right, real
good. I don't
know.
The other rookies, they seem to be kind of invisible this year for the most part. I mean, yeah, you'll see a flash of Dylan, a flash of Larson, but I think we all kind of expected Larson to have a win by now.
Yeah, I'm finding it disappointing as a chip guy.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw a couple names out there, and then maybe we'll switch up gears and talk a little bit about this driver council that we heard kick up. I'm going to throw out the name of Earnhardt Jr., and you guys just give me your letter grade on Earnhardt Jr. halfway through. I want a letter grade for Jeff Gordon. We didn't mention him. I'd like everybody's take on Jeff Gordon and a letter grade. we've not mentioned Johnson, and, you know, if big fans out there are going to say, well, absolutely, he's A plus, 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 plus. We're trying to look at this a little more reasonably, and I want to throw out Casey Kane. Those four drivers – primarily Hendrick. Give me a letter grade on any or all of those guys.
All right. Well, I'll give you Earnhardt Jr. and Casey Kane can have an A minus. They've both been running pretty good. I don't know. Has Casey had a win yet? I'm not sure.
Yet. Not yet.
And we might have to bump
been
him
close.
Down to a B plus. Jeff Gordon, he's not seemingly getting anything going for his last year, and I don't know what the issue is. You know, he's got to be hovering around that B minus C plus area to me. He seems to be the worst of the bunch at Hendrick. Mm-hmm. I mean, Junior got a win. Junior's been running up front quite a bit. You got to give Johnson an A plus. I mean, he's got four wins. I mean, the team, they do come back. Sometimes there's some races. They look god awful. Car's loose. He's spinning around. And yet they still adjust it and get him back in and, you know, then he's up front contending for the win. So you can't argue whether you like him or don't like him. You know something nefarious is going on in the car. The team has blatantly got caught. Well, they already got blatantly got caught pulling us side skirts out of the car at our race, and NASCAR gave him a pass on it. We constantly hear of, you know, them getting written warnings and this is wrong and that's wrong. So they're clearly trying to work in the gray areas of the car. So, you know. Whatever, you know, I'm not trying to start another Deflategate scandal type thing here, because, you know, the old motto of NASCAR is if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. So, you know, I'll give them a bit of a pass on that unless they get caught blatantly doing something, you know, over the edge. You know, if you want to tug on a fender skirt here or there and you don't get caught, so be it. You know, that's I can live with that kind of stuff.
What say you, Sidekick? You want to throw a letter grade to any of those four guys I mentioned, Earnhardt, Kane, Gordon, Johnson?
Well, obviously I'm not the full-on junior fan that Brandon is. So I'm putting him in a B.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's doing good. Jimmy, I'm putting in a B because he's lacking some consistency.
Wow, that's a big story right there. No kidding. Giving him a B. Go ahead.
He's got the four wins, but he's up and down. He's not, he's not doing good on every test.
Yeah, but he doesn't need to, Dave. Once you get the wins, all you got to fight for is wins. So if you're out to lunch, screw it. Make it a test session, and we'll come back and win next week.
Look, I'm the one giving out the grade here.
Yeah.
This is my scale.
ahead, buddy. Get that red pencil out.
I'm a little harder on the...
I hear you. I hear you. Casey Game, what do you think about
it?
Casey,
I'll put in a C. Gordon, I'll put in a C. I expected to see more out of Gordon. Especially with this being his last year.
Right.
So, he's been kind of disappointing. But, he's still doing good. But just not as good as we thought. A name I'd like to throw out there.
Do it.
Carl Edwards.
Yep.
Making the move over to Gibbs. I give him a square D for what he's done over at Gibbs. I thought for sure, we would see him come over. We talked about it at the beginning of the season. You talk about, Kenseth coming over, had a breakout, almost a career, probably his best career year. And Carl kind of came out and just kind of fizzled.
Mm-hmm.
Tough grader there, Sidekick.
Oh.
The dude has a win. He's in the chase, and you're giving him a D? Come on.
Yeah.
That's Professor Sidekick.
We already
right
had
there.
One
he
bad
started,
flip, and you're giving Carl a D? Yeah, I think you're right. We all expected better, but I think Toyota's on an upswing now. They started
We're only at the half-year mark. It's not his final grade, but he came out of the gate and he kind of stunk up the joint. So I'm giving him a D. He was an F, but
he's turning it around.
Well, he did some extra credit.
Exactly. Yeah. So and he's
he
on the uptick. He's on the uptick, and I think he'll be able to improve his grade by the end of the season. But right now, at this point, I'm giving him a D.
All right. I like it. Okay, folks at home, listen.
Everybody,
if you're playing along,
get Sidekick some more red pens. He's got to be low on.
Oh yeah, that one's just about dried out. Let us know, friends. We're taking your calls. We're taking your thoughts if you're willing to share them. 347-826-9964. Halfway through the year, it's midterm for NASCAR. Everybody else is getting out of school. These guys got to go back to school. They got a lot more learning to do. How would you give a letter grade to the NASCAR product? What pilots would you give a passing grade, a failing grade to? Come on in, give us your thoughts and share. Now, real quick, gentlemen, let's touch on this driver council thing. Brandon, you alluded to it, and I'm not going to say too much about it because I'd like to get your and Sidekick's take on it. The thing's been shrouded in mystery. We have maybe 8 confirmed, maybe less confirmed drivers involved. We have what we believe to be NASCAR executives. There might be some track officials. We're not sure. There may be some manufacturer officials. We're not sure. But we're being told the group of this driver council meeting with NASCAR, it was a historic event that occurred, that's in quotes, at the Dover Hotel and Casino last week. Everybody got together and talked about issues in NASCAR. Friends at home, we'd like your take on this as well. Is this driver council, and I'll ask you, men, is this the first actual push by an RTA? Are they taking on a bit of flex here? Do we have unified voices and representatives speaking up for the drivers? Ooh, is that the labor versus NASCAR? Ooh, that's management. Or is this just nonsense? Are these chosen by ballot voted drivers just seen as wide-eyed, naive youngsters by Brian France and company, and they're simply being appeased and goaded into believing that they're part of a bigger decision-making process? That's the question that I have. And so I guess I'll start it off with a sidekick. Tell me.
What is with this driver's council? Everybody and their mom is talking about this stinking. Everybody and their mom's talking about this stinking driver's council that they had the other week. And NASCAR comes back and they go, "Oh, we do these a couple times a year. This isn't the first one, but yet this is the one that everybody's talking about." Like all of a sudden, the media said, "Hey, what's this driver council? Well, we're going to talk about this." And everybody's like, "Wait, what? Why haven't we heard about this yet?" And this goes back to that whole thing where, the horrible grade they got. Supposedly you've had driver council meetings already this year, but all of a sudden nobody knows, "Wait, what? We've had one before? This one? Really?" And then you got Jimmy Johnson out there. "Well, I guess I wasn't invited all six time." Well, go change your tampon, bro. Talk about seeing red. Go hang out with Aunt Flo.
It's funny. This is the best thing. You're right. This has almost come across as the best thing since sliced bread. And, of course, I guess that makes sense why they put Joe.
Now, listen, Gravehead. I'll explain it so even you can understand it.
Yeah, what's your take on this, Brandon? Driver Council, we mentioned it as part of the communication grade we would give to NASCAR. Are we going to see an uptick of communication? Is there anything of substance here?
I like the idea. I don't like the shroud of secrecy around it. I think that's stupid. I mean, we heard throughout the week that, the manufacturers had a say in who was their representatives or what. I don't care how you get it. Pick a small subset of the 43 or the 40 best guys, get some of the low budget team guys in there too. Throw a Cole Witt or one of them bottom guys, Annette, who drives for the 7 car. They might have a voice too. I'm not saying a lot
Scott,
of them.
I think Scott,
they got,
maybe.
Joey Logano over Keselowski, we can argue back and forth. I think Logano's just a stone-cold moron. He just looks like a Rob Gronkowski, I want to go party type, but he's not cool. In other words, at least Gronk's cool. Joey wants to be Gronk, but he's not cool enough to be Gronk. That's the way I'm looking at him. And he looks like why they would want to even hear from him.
Logano's more like the Sheldon from Big Bang Theory then.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that works. But I think Keselowski would add more to that conversation because when he's interviewed, he comes off as intelligent. He sounds like he knows a lot about the mechanics of the car. Logano's is just an idiot. He doesn't have any idea how the
You're
car
an
works.
Idiot.
Yeah.
So,
and God knows Keselowski has an opinion about everything, and he's not
true.
Afraid to tell you.
True, and that may be why him or a Jimmy Johnson's excluded. Maybe people think their personalities are too strong. But whatever. I like the idea, but maybe get a little bit of better structure around how it's determined or something so that you don't have all these stupid, articles throughout the week of, was Keselowski, he's coming out saying that he I didn't earn it. Well, I don't necessarily agree with that. He's been a former champion. There should be a better, communication, the whole process. And what are you going to call it? As Mark alluded to, is this the start of a driver's union? I mean, I'm sure NASCAR is not going to want it worded that way in any way, shape, or form.
Without a doubt.
You start throwing that word around, it's the driver's council is going to be out the window as fast as you can say, union, because I don't think they want to hear those words, per se. But essentially, it's kind of what it looks like, the infancy of.
No, I agree with you. And it's funny because an ESPN article that I read, Bob Pockris was the author And I'm going to just read a real quick quote, because I believe the word union was probably phrased in the question of O'Donnell. And Pockrass wrote, NASCAR Executive Vice President Steve O'Donnell shook his head in disagreement of the characterization of it being a driver's council. Quote, we met with the drivers like we always do. Ongoing conversations that we always have in dialogue with the drivers. End quote. So to your point, Brandon, absolutely. I think that the U word was probably dropped, and then they wanted to back away from it. I'm going to give you my take on it, and I'm terribly cynical about this, but I'm going to let's not forget how I opened this show with a little bit of review. We heard a lot of criticism from a lot of drivers in a lot of areas, whether it be focused on the qualifying nonsense and the race product, whether it be about safety, whether it be about cautions and other issues, just poor quality passing. What is the best way for NASCAR to stop it? Well, you know what we do? We elect. We have the drivers sit back, and in a show of, oh, you're in charge, we say, just like a parent would tell small children, 5 and 6 years old, okay, vote for your representative, and then we'll bring him in over here, and they'll sit, and we'll tell them what the rules are. And what happens? So, oh, okay, all the drivers rally around. Oh, that's a great idea. Let's do that. Okay, now we've got 8 drivers, and we bring them in with executives, and as I say, track officials maybe, venue participants, manufacturers, and we say, all right, guys, here's how it's going to be. You got a beef? Stop telling the media. We're going to meet the next 6 weeks from now, and we're going to talk again. Is everybody square? Because I'll be honest with you, the fact that they were vocal at the beginning of the year, and they've come out of this, and all of these drivers are suddenly tight-lipped, I have a real question about what's going on. And I do not buy for 1 second that these drivers or their opinions matter one iota. That's my take.
Wow.
Yeah, I had a monster. And yeah, I'm here to tell you. Yeah. You ain't seen nothing yet. And we're going to keep going back to it. Yeah. You know, we're going to be bringing in Frat House Mike here along. And he's going to give us our NHRA update. I wanted to quickly, before we switch gears completely, we could just touch on that Dover thing last week. Jimmy Johnson, you know, we said it as part of our letter grading system. Jimmy Johnson went out there, and what did he do? He just cleaned up at Dover. He joins, you want to talk about clean air, he joins the clean air group, right? I mean, when you talk about 10 or more wins at any given track, I mean, that's pretty rare air. We know Petty's done it, Martinsville, North Wilkesboro, Richmond, Rockingham, Daytona. Of course, nobody's going to touch Petty by virtue of just volume. Darrell Waltrip, he's done it, won multiple times, more than 10, Bristol, Martinsville, North Wilkesboro. Dale, of course, senior, we're talking there. He did it 10 or more at Talladega. Pearson, arguably an underrated champion. Boy, had he run more full-time years, I think he probably would have chased Petty a little bit more. That's one of my NASCAR heroes, David Pearson. He had more than 10 or at least 10 at Darlington. And now we've got Johnson doing it at Dover. And by the way, of course, you know, he's got 8 so far at Martinsville. He's got 7 at Charlotte. We're going to see him get 10 wins probably at those tracks before he retires. So he might retire with 10 or more at more than 3 venues. What to say about him? And when are we going to see him pull off? Because in the past, we've talked about, well, he and Knaus, they get a few wins under their belt, and then they pull back, and they start tinkering, and they start getting ready for the chase. What do you think? This is a very popular track for him. I mean, he can win at Pocono. What's the take on this guy? Is he shenanigans, or is he really legit? I mean, he's Mr. 4-time right now for wins in the year, and he's 10-time at Dover, 6-time champion.
Well, I don't think you can call him a fraud, but, you know, he's not a likable guy. He's not a kind of guy that fans like to hate. And then he goes out there and, you know, does what, you know, like last week at Dover. You know, he didn't really earn that race at Dover. I mean, let's get it straight. Martin Truex led the most laps, I believe. I mean, he was the front runner.
Jimmy led what, the last 20?
He came in at the end with good track position.
Right.
So, you know, you can't take away from the fact he has 6 championships and all the wins, but I think the problem is I think people just don't like him because he comes off as smug. You know, it's just like, whatever, I just roll with it. We do this, we do that, and, you know, we work on all race, you know, whatever. You know, it's like, I don't know. Jimmy Johnson's just not a likable kind of guy to me, anyway.
I hear you.
So
okay.
I'm not a fan. Not a fan at all, but you got to respect a man's ability. I mean, he's an excellent driver.
He's an excellent driver.
Listen,
he's two wins away from tying. Two wins away from tying Dale Sr. Sidekick with 76 wins. That'll put him ahead of Dale if he gets that 77th. He'll hold 7th all time on the list. You know, what do you make of it? We're going to see it happen. And his win percent is great. He's got 74 wins in 484 starts.
Oh, yeah.
Dale achieved the same win total, but it took him 676 starts.
Well, you know, I got to say, I love listening to Brandon talk about Jimmy Johnson and
mm-hmm.
everything, because the parallels between Jimmy Johnson and the New England Patriots
are
so close. Because, mm-hmm. and here's the thing, it's this, the reason people hate Jimmy Johnson is the same reason people like me hate the New England Patriots. You know, but if you look at the two of them, the reason they're champions and that they have their dynasties and they're as good as they are, okay, is because they work, their work ethic. They work and they work and they work. Do they push the rules? Absolutely. You're not going to distinguish yourself as a champion from any other team if you're not pushing the boundaries and pushing the rules. Okay? You're not, you know, and unfortunately, that's what Jimmy Johnson and Chad Knaus do. They've got it where they just, you know, he doesn't qualify well. He's running at the back of the pack. And they take that race, and through the race, they work and they work and they work and they work. And all of a sudden, 20 laps to go, where's Jimmy Johnson? He's sitting in the frickin' lead.
Yep.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it's like how the Patriots are, you know, and that's why he's as good as he is.
He's sneaky good.
And it's a team effort. I think if you take Jimmy Johnson, you put him on any other team, he's not nearly as good as he is with Chad Knaus and that pit crew that he has.
Good point. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
May never know that, but that's a good point. I agree with you.
That is a driver crew chief combination.
Yep.
That has Belichick.
Yep.
Just clicked. I mean, like you just said, yes, it's like a Belichick Brady, the two of them. You know, I mean, just an evil genius and a guy with God given unlimited talent and potential.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the two of them are dangerous.
Absolutely
so,
right.
So, you know, he's gonna blow right on by Dale Sr.
Yeah.
You know, to your comments, you know, before I started comparing the Patriots and Jimmy Johnson. You know, he's going to blow right by, and he's just going to keep racking them up. And I don't see this guy, you know, we're going to see Jimmy Johnson for a while. You know, we talked about it kind of preseason before Daytona. You know, Gordon's bowing out this season. You know, he's taking a lot of licks. You know, we were talking about Denny Hamlin taking a lot of licks, and he may have a short career. Jimmy Johnson, I think, will be around the sport for a long time.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I think he's got from a physical standpoint and everything else, I think he's in shape. And as long as we don't see any, horrific accidents or anything like that, I think he's basically, Jimmy Johnson will call when he wants to quit, and he'll probably go out on top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I'll echo that. As an A-plus driver, I do have to rank him up there. I didn't offer it earlier, but Jimmy Johnson certainly has been A-plus this year, and I agree with you. I mean, I think we are going to foresee win number 5 and 6 occurring before even the chase time. I would not be a bit surprised to see the man accumulate 6 wins, maybe more, as we, you know, conclude. Now we still have the whole second half to go. 347-826-9964. There's a little bit of time still to climb in. If you want to do that, folks, and you're listening to us, we do want to go ahead and bring in our own frat house mic. Baby, yes, indeed. We got NHRA Summer Nationals. They're kicking up in nearby Old Bridge Township Raceway Park, Englishtown, New Jersey. Of course, frat house Mike's own favorite in the pro stock division, Erica Enders. Frat house Mike, boy, I'll tell you what, everybody needs binoculars to see her. She's that far out in front in that division. Give us an update of where we are in NHRA today.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, you're absolutely right about that. I mean, Erica is just, she just picked up her, I think it's her third Wally 2 weeks ago. I'll go through the results from 2 weeks ago, but I just got to throw in a couple of comments here. Number one, boy, I heard an awful lot of praise being heaped upon Jimmy Johnson there by Sidekick, who only wants to give him a B. But we're going to heap all kinds of praise on the guy. And a D to Carl Edwards, huh? Seriously? Wow.
Wait, hold on. We're talking about Jimmy Johnson career, not Jimmy Johnson this year.
How do you give a guy who's got 4 wins a B?
He needs to be more consistent.
Oh, my gosh. Anyhow. Listen, here's the other thing. I have discovered what the comment means from Blog Talk Radio. Our engineers are working on a solution for the audio file issue. I figured out what that means.
What does it mean?
The only one that has access to any of the audio files is the host. I have been sitting over here trying to hit sounds all morning long, and nothing is happening. Absolutely nothing. So, yep.
Well, at least the host can do it, or otherwise you'd be stone dead in the water, I guess.
Well, listen.
Used to good friends.
Yeah.
Tonight
that's BTR for you. Gotta love Blog Talk Radio. Absolutely.
Works for
gotta
me.
Gotta love Blog Talk Radio. Really?
Yeah. That was me hitting lower brow.
Crazy?
Yeah, that worked for me. I hit Are You Crazy? Yeah.
I'm over here. I'm hitting. I have jumped in and out of this studio four times. I am hitting all the sound drops right now, and nothing is playing. Absolutely nothing is playing.
Wow.
So. Anyhow.
Great.
Anyhow.
Googly moogly.
Gotta love Blog Talk Radio, seriously. Anyhow, listen, 2 weeks ago we were out at...
get in the running car.
I would like to. We were out in Topeka, as Uncle Mark just pointed out. And over in Top Fuel 2 weeks ago, Richie Crampton got his first Wally of the season, beating Larry Dixon. Funny car. Came down to Fast Jack Beckman and John Force, and Beckman... got his, I believe that's his first Wally of the season. And then, as we just pointed out in the pro stock, well, there's Erica getting her. Brandon, is it a third? I'm almost positive it's her third Wally for this season over Greg Anderson.
Correct.
Yeah. That is just, that's incredible. Because you consider there have only been 7 nationals so far. We're going into our 8th. This weekend. So they're out of 7 events. She's won 3 of them. And as pointed out, she's right now 58 points ahead of Jason Lyne. Normally, at this time of the season, you're looking at pro stock being the most competitive, the tightest of the 3 divisions. Right now, that is the one that's the least competitive, with Erica having a 58-point lead. In funny car, Matt Hagen is 5 points behind Ron Capps and Jack Beckman, 49. Behind Matt Hagen. So, as I pointed out a couple of weeks ago, there's your DSR cars lined up right in a row, 1, 2, 3. Top Fuel, here we go with the DSRs. Antron Brown, 53 points ahead of Tony Schumacher. But in Top Fuel, that can change very, very quickly. Now, today we are, as pointed out, we're over in Englishtown, Old Bridge Township Raceway. For the Summer Nationals, this is their only visit to Englishtown all season long. Antron Brown's got the number one spot in Top Fuel. Probably not a surprise there. J.R. Todd, number two. Schumacher, Tony Schumacher, number three. Lee Pritchett, number four.
Oh,
so there's,
I like
there's
that.
Our, yep, there's, oh, yeah. There's our ladder there. In Funny Car, the Cruiser's got the number one spot. Boo. Chad Head, number two. Del Worsham is number three. Matt Hagen, number four. We don't see a John Force car until we get to number six. Courtney's in the number six spot. In Pro Stock, Greg Anderson. Here we go. This is going to turn out to be, watch, it'll turn out to be Anderson against Erica.
Erica, yeah.
Watch, it'll turn out to be a repeat. And Anderson is number one. Drew Skillman. There's that young Drew Skillman. We haven't heard from him probably since, what, that first or second week of the season where he really was phenomenal. But there's Drew Skillman sitting there with the number two spot. Erica Enders in three. And Chris McGay is a four. There's our that's our NHRA for today. We'll be watching that, I'm sure, a bit later.
Absolutely. There he is. Our own track outside. Let me know what's going on the drag strip. Now, all right, gentlemen, you're all involved, and we're going to run around and try and do this in maybe 5 or 7 minutes because we're getting close to time here. But Tricky Triangle, this is the spot that we're going to go. It's a great track. Brandon and Sidekick and I were chatting. I mean, this is a great place because it's unlike anything else on the circuit. What we do know is Kurt Busch is on the pole. We've got ridiculous, almost look like speed bumps over the tunnel, the turn tunnel. Three very unique corners. We're going to have shifting, suspension, brakes, shocks. Everything's going to be tested. The parts, the pilots, everything's going to get battle tested. Track position, arguably, it may not be that big a deal. Oh, some other drivers say, no, position's a big deal. Might see some drafting occur on that long straightaway. We're going to look at our fantasy picks. We're going to bring in our own Sidekick to give us our fantasy picks. At this point, I mean, it's Bill's Racers. He's running way out front in our NASCAR Fantasy League. Brandon sits in third. Sidekick sits in seventh. I, myself, am just making the cut line at 16. Frat House Mike, just a couple behind in 18. He's running the 18 car, of course. He's in 18th place. And the house team sitting back way behind as a backmarker in 19th spot. Of course, Frat House Mike is going to track the chase for us in our In Fantasy League once we get to that point and we get to the final 10 races of the year. So that'll be fun. And Eat My Dust, Brandon, out front still. Didn't get any points last week. Sits out front at 25. Sidekick, nice move up. He picked up four positions. He's in 24th position. I picked up three with Larson last week. I'm in 22 points and Frat House Mike at 21. So it's very, very close that way too. First and foremost, I guess what we want to do, let's get Sidekick in to give us our fantasy picks for today at Pocono. Sidekick, what's the best way for us to go ahead and get a win here in Pocono?
Well, I'm giving the fantasy, the house team, an F for the season. They're just stinking up the joint.
Nobody knows what is going on with that team.
That's the only grade that he's gotten accurate today.
Oh, boy.
That'd be quiet over there, D.
Hey,
there seems to be no sign of intelligent life anywhere.
I'm the only one that has legitimately been a teacher. Sidekick, I think you'd get pulled into the principal's office with those grades.
Yeah.
Oh, no!
I'm the Brad Keselowski of the teaching world. All right. But having said that, last week, the house show, actually, we did all right.
Yeah, you did.
We came back with a top 10, so, you know, we're, you know.
Shows some signs of life.
Yeah, it's that kind of Jimmy Johnson thing, that inconsistency. You know, we run well.
I think it was more like a Greg Biffle thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The week nobody expects anything, a guy pulls the top 10. You bet on him this week, and, you'll be out to lunch.
Yeah. But, you know, if we use Teacher McShane's rules, I have a win with the house team.
Yes, you do.
Yep. So,
You're in the chase.
So I should have a better grade, you know. But, you know, like
that's
I said.
That's true. You know, you're right about that.
So, but I do give myself an F because it, we should not be sitting that low. But, you know. Of course, the funny thing, the Reading Hanes are all sitting at the top.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is one of those upside down years.
The Hendrick team.
Yeah.
That's the Hendrick team.
Mm-hmm. That's the powerhouse.
Anyway,
all those guys are powerhouse.
So before I use up all the time, let's get to the picks. We're going to go with the house team. Harvick, Johnson, Truex Jr., Casey Mears, Dave Gillen. Basically same roster as last week. And we're going to go with Harvick and Chevy for the win and the manufacturer. For spring rubber, We're going to go with the 4 of Kevin Harvick. We're going to go with the 78 of Martin Truex Jr., the 48 of Jimmy Johnson, the 9 of Sam Hornish Jr., and the 46 of Michael Annette. I'm going with Harvick and Chevy, and I'm going with Harvick as my Eat My Dust pick.
All right, we got the 4. Sounds good. Brandon, holler him out if you want.
Real quick, I got Martin Truex Jr., Kevin Harvick, my Dale Earnhardt Jr., who's won both races at Pocono last year. Just going to throw that in there for the heck of it.
Uh-huh.
David Reagan, Casey Mears. And now, interestingly, to win in the fantasy, I did go with Harvick and Chevrolet. But in Eat My Dust, I'm going with Jr. I'm going to play the homer card and
Ooh,
go with Dale Jr.
Crush.
Jr.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Okay. Brad House, Mike.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You wanna give us the winning roster?
Oh, absolutely, because you got to know I've got it. I feel very, very good about this team right here.
Get some facts and come back and see me.
Can I tell you, I'm not making one single change to anything from last week.
Oh,
I'm running.
Good. Oh, no. Oh, good for you.
I'm hanging with the same crew. Hamlin, Kyle Busch, Carl Edwards, Martin Truex, and David Reagan. That's my fantasy team, and my Eat My Dust is Truex. Truex is going to get one. I keep saying it. It's going to happen.
Hey,
I don't like confrontations.
Hey, beautiful hair.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, I kind of, I gotta pull a sidekick like he did last week. Now that you took Truex there, Fred House, Mike, I guess I gotta change. I gotta change now. All right.
Hey, it worked out for me last week.
I know. I sat here last week and I flipped a coin and I pulled a top 3. Here's what we're gonna do. The best drivers here are Gordon, Hamlin. Of course, you can't write off Truex. I mean, he certainly could do it here as well. All right, what to do? I'll go with the 11. I'll go with Denny Hamlin. I think he might be able to, if his equipment can hold up all day. He certainly was. He got 4 wins here. Put me down. Eat my dust.
He's got 4.
Put me down for an Eat My Dust pick of Denny Hamlin. And if he crashes out, I'm going to need quite a few more of these. But we're going to hope not. All right, folks, you've got it. There's our lineup. Okay, well, you heard it from Sidekick. He's our expert. You heard it from Brandon. He's leading the thing. You heard it from Frat House Mike. He's all heart. you certainly heard it from me, but you know, like my teacher always
You're
told
an
me
idiot.
Yeah, I know, and I just cannot seem to catch a break. Here's what let's do before we get out of here. I just want to run around real quick and tell you what we're doing. You know, our Frat House Sports Radio Network, that's where you tuned in, Frat House Sports Radio Network. And, gentlemen, you all know this, and join along with me to listen during the week. Monday nights, we have the Blaine Gang right here on Frat House Sports Radio Network from 7 to 9 p.m. We do the Stitches program. This Olivian Stitches. These guys are very funny, and they talk all sports. On Tuesday night, we need some MLB chat. So Frat House Mike comes back, has his frat boys with him, generally Sean, Caleb, and or Nick. Always looking for guests, and they usually have them. Tuesday evening, clean up hitters. That's coming to you right here on the Frat House Sports Radio Network from 7 to about 8:30 p.m. Our flagship program, it's Thursday evenings, folks. We have the entire gang, the four of us right here, plus guests, a lot of fun, a lot of chat. Frat House Sports Show. Nothing is off limits in terms of sports then, and you're always invited to call. So please do that. Keep the number handy, 347-826-9964, or Skype in. On Saturday afternoons, and I had the pleasure yesterday of sitting back and enjoying it, Frat House Mike joins you in the afternoon for a relaxed afternoon from 2 to 4 p.m. This is a great time of day, folks. If you're hanging around, usually big sports aren't really happening at that time. It's a good time. He catches up. He brings you up to speed on everything that's going on with the Frat House Sports Radio Network during the week. All kinds of clips, all kinds of highlights. Yesterday had a live guest. It's always a lot of fun and a great way to get a taste of what we do here with Frat House Sports. Now, finally, on Sunday, we're going to be back with you next Sunday, right, gentlemen? We're going to be back because we got the Quicken Loan 400. We're going to Michigan International Speedway. It'll be all four of us once again. However, that following week, which will be the weekend of June 19 through 21, that's a NASCAR off week. So we're working out what we're going to do for that. We may be coming to you Friday evening on the 19th ahead of an off week. If things work out, we're going to let you know. We'll finalize that schedule. Otherwise, we'll be back with you the following week when we head out to Sonoma. That'll be our first road course of the year, and that'll be on the 28th. So 2 weeks from now, we'll tighten it up, and we'll figure it out, and we'll let you all know. But Sidekick, you're back with us next Sunday. Brandon, you're back with us next Sunday. Frat House Mike, we will have NHRA right next week again. Is that right? I believe we do.
Yes, you will. Sorry about
that. All right. No problem. That's great. I think I got to the end of it. Gentlemen, thoughts? We got a couple minutes, maybe a minute and a half, 2 minutes to go. Anybody have a final thought, a send-off they want to throw?
One thing I would like to talk about there, Uncle Mark, real quick while we have time. I have some racing topic, but it's not typical racing we talk about. But how about American Pharoah yesterday winning the Triple Crown, breaking the 37-year drought?
Wow. Well, but the problem with that race was it was 8 horsepower, dude. It was 8 horsepower.
It's a different kind of racing, but it is loosely racing.
It was exciting. Come on now.
It's a good feel good. You know, the fact that it hasn't been done in so long. That's what makes it.
I triple dog dare you.
That's what makes it special.
Well, you know, but the problem was there were some debris cautions I didn't like. And they were mystery.
Uh-oh.
You couldn't even qualify. What's going on with that pack qualifying stuff, man? I didn't much care for that. And I saw contact. On the
Meadow
outside.
Muffins. Meadow Muffins on the track.
Is that what it was? Oh, my goodness gracious. Almighty sake of life. All right, gentlemen. We're going to head out to Pocono. Thank you so much, Frat House Mike, as always, for running the board and joining with us today. And, of course, Sidekick and Brandon. I'm indebted to both of you for making this thing go with us. Folks, enjoy the racing. Don't forget, kick the tires and look for us back here next Sunday morning. We'll be back with you at 11 a.m. And tomorrow night, don't forget, from 7 to 9 p.m., jump in on the Stitches program right here on the Frat House Sports Radio Network. Don't you dare miss it.